Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. And as some of you know, I am in the process of putting together a study guide. It's a study guide that I have titled Destined for Glory. It's a study guide on the topic of salvation. And the whole purpose of the study guide is to show what God intends for His people. That God intends for all of His children to grow up and be just like Jesus. And so it's based on Romans 8:28-30. Verse 29 is the key verse. For whom He foreknew, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so I just want to show that God's plan of salvation is to grow us all up so that we all look like Jesus. That's the end goal or the end result. And last week I talked about it begins with the new birth. And so we are born again, and then from there we grow up. So today's lesson is titled, It's Time to Grow Up. And then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of this thing beginning next week. But it's time to grow up. Has anyone ever said to you, why don't you grow up? Anyone ever said that to you? Maybe it was your mother or your father. Perhaps it was one of your siblings. If you're married, there's a real good chance it was your wife. Right? Usually when someone tells you to grow up, it's because you're acting immature. And that person wants you to start acting more like a grown-up and less like a child. Now, when you read the Bible, you will often hear God say, grow up. Not in a negative sense or a sarcastic sense, but rather by means of exhortation. God wants His children to grow. You see, growth is the normal and natural part of life. To remain a child perpetually is a sign that something is terribly wrong. So growth is expected, right? But wouldn't it be great if once we were baptized into Christ that instantly we were mature believers? Wouldn't that be great? Well, that would be great. However, that's not the way that it works. We all start out as babes, and slowly but surely we take on the likeness and the image of the Son of God. We become a mature believer. And so growing up is a process that cannot be skipped. It's part of God's plan so that He can shape each one of us into the image and likeness of Christ Himself. And so, are you aware that there are dozens of verses that encourage us to grow up? For example, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. God expects us to grow. He expects us to go from infancy to maturity. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't miss the word grow. Now that we are saved and part of God's family, God expects us to now mature in our faith. The Hebrew writer encourages his readers to not get stuck in infancy, but rather move on to maturity. He writes in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. In other words, He's saying, go beyond the ABCs of the Christian faith. Move on toward maturity. You see, in all of these verses, there is an expectation to make progress in the faith, to go from infancy to maturity. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "And he gave some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So we can ask ourselves, what is the purpose of these gifts that Jesus has given to the church? The gifts that He's given are apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. Well, Paul tells us what the purpose is. It's to equip the saints. It is to aid them in their growth and their maturity in Christ. Note verse 13. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." Here it is. "To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Do you remember what God's plan for His children is? Well, here we go. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Romans 8:29. "And so you are destined for glory." And so, when we experience the new birth, we are babes in Christ. But God doesn't want us to remain babes in Jesus. He expects us to grow up in Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. The good news is this. God will help us grow up. God has a variety of resources, if you will, that He uses to help us grow up and become like Jesus. He uses Scripture, for example, to renew our minds. He uses the Holy Spirit in order to eradicate the old man and incorporate the new man. He uses Jesus as an example of what it means to be God's child. He uses pain and suffering to produce perseverance and character and hope. He uses the saints to encourage and challenge us. He uses providence. You see, God can use the good and the bad and the ugly in your life to make your life shine. God has a way of taking all of that and blending it together to work out for your ultimate good. And that's what He says in Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And so, God knows what it takes to grow us up. He knows how to mature His children. And so God uses a variety of resources to make our lives look like Jesus. I love Paul's words in Galatians 4:19 as he talks about what he strove to do in his ministry there. He says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you." You see, that's the goal. The image of Christ is what we should all be striving for. And all through the Gospels, you see Jesus over and over again saying, come and follow me. He wants us to imitate him. And that's why Jesus says in Luke 6:40, the verse that Mike read a few moments ago, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be as his teacher. And so when Jesus gets done with us, we will be like Jesus. And so the New Testament writers encourage us over and over again to be like Jesus. In Philippians 2 verse 5, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice the New Testament writers are going to be pointing the finger to Jesus. Jesus is saying all through the Gospels, come, follow me. The New Testament writers will say, follow Jesus. Peter writes, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. The Hebrew writer tells us to focus our attention on Jesus. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he says, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Brethren, you can't hit a target that you're not aiming at. And so the Hebrew writer is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Never look away from Jesus. Paul writes in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And so Jesus is the target that we're all supposed to be aiming at. He is the life that we're to look to and learn from. Christianity is not about simply being baptized and living good lives and attending services on Sunday mornings. That is not what Christianity is about. That's a part of it. But Christianity is all about God growing us up so that we resemble the image and likeness of the Son of God. That's the goal. That's what God expects. And so Jesus is the target. John writes, he who says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. There you go. He's the example. 1 John 2 verse 6. And so Jesus is our example on how to live. When it comes to forgiveness, we're to follow the example of Jesus. Paul writes, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. In other words, you should forgive in the way Christ has forgiven you. He is your example. When it comes to serving, Jesus is our example. Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. When it comes to loving one another, Jesus is our example. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." You see, Jesus is the epitome of all that God ever wanted in his children. Everything God expects from us is seen in Jesus. It's like the greatest command, where we're told to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. You see, if you get that one commandment down, you don't have to worry about all of the others, because that one commandment will take care of all of the others. So it is with Jesus. If you strive to become like him, you don't have to worry about all of the other commands and all of the other teachings, because to be like Jesus means you're living out all of the other commands and teachings of Jesus. And so if you're living the life of Jesus, you're doing everything God wants you to do. That's what I'm saying. And that's why he is the example. This is what God wants for you and he wants for me. The image of Christ is the target. And so remember, God's plan for his family is to be conformed to the image of his son, Romans 8 and verse 29. And so we all have a lot of growing up to do. And I don't know about you, but the more I study the life of Jesus, the more I see the need to grow in my life. We will never, ever attain the fullness of Christ in this life. Nevertheless, we're supposed to strive with all of our energy to try to incorporate the life of Jesus. And then one day, in the future, Jesus will come back. And when he returns, we will shed this mortality. We will put on immortality. And we will be perfect in body and soul and spirit. We are destined for glory. So, in the next 7 chapters, we're going to be looking at the various resources that God uses to shape our lives to make us like Jesus. And each one of these is essential in our spiritual development. It is vital that we understand how God shapes our lives. For example, one of the ways that God shapes us is through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we're all being conformed to his image day by day, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yet Paul warns us not to quench the Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. You see, you can hinder God's work in your life by quenching the Spirit, by not allowing the Spirit to fill us, by not allowing the Spirit to change us. You can say no to God. You don't have to submit to what God wants to do in your life. You can refuse it. You can reject it. But that's what Paul says, do not do. And so God uses the Holy Spirit to transform your life. It's one of the tools that he uses. It's not the only one, but it's one of many. Some of the resources that he uses are spiritual disciplines that we must participate in, like reading the Bible and fellowship and prayer. And failure to participate in these activities will hinder our spiritual growth. In other words, if you do not read the Bible, you do not pray, you do not engage in spiritual fellowship, it will stunt your growth. You will not grow, you will not develop, you will not be the person that God wants you to be. God also uses providence to make all things work together for good in our lives. And so get ready to explore the exciting journey to Christ-likeness. Next week, We're going to look at the first tool that God uses. The chapter is titled, No Pain, No Gain. And so it's about suffering. And the whole chapter deals with how God uses suffering to shape our lives and make us like Jesus. And so I hope you'll come back and be a part of that study. This is a very, very important study. We're going to get very practical from here on out. A lot of stuff that I've laid out in the first three chapters here are just sort of matter-of-fact stuff. But we're going to get extremely practical now as we look at the various ways, tools that God uses to shape each one of us so that one day we resemble the image and likeness of the Son of God Himself. And so this morning, maybe we have some in our assembly this morning that are in need of prayer. Maybe you're struggling in your life. Maybe life is really hard for you right now. And you don't necessarily have to come and say what's going on in your life. You can just come and say, hey, I'm struggling and I would like for you to pray with me. I need God's help in my life. We would love to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. Maybe you're not a Christian. You've never experienced a new birth that I talked about last week. Maybe that's something you would like to experience. If so, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, the purpose of the song is just to give you a moment to think about where you are in your relationship with God. And if you're not where you need to be in your relationship with God, this is a time to make a change. That's the purpose of this. And so we're going to sing a song, and we hope you'll think about your relationship with God. If you need to make changes, come as we stand together and sing.